Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. And we're looking specifically at the first part of the verse, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Now this morning I began to tell you, we began to look back over what we had already covered regarding those that had committed sins, those that had acted hastily, impulsively, that did not cultivate a pondering mind, that acted on the impulse of the moment. And I told you how that right after, and the interesting thing about this is that as in the study of the Proverbs, there's much on the tongue. And we're in chapter 15, and there's been much about the tongue as we've worked our way verse by verse up to this point. This has not been the first occasion that this has happened, that I've certainly told Linda about this, is that it seems like after I've preached on a particular passage, especially that deals with the tongue, very shortly after that, I turn around and sin a sin involving the tongue. And on the one hand, I don't even want to say that it was encouraging, but it was interesting how many of you stated on the way out the door this morning that you understood what I was saying and how that this can happen and how that it's happened to you as well. I want to pick up where I left off because I told you that I was going to try and teach two truths from this. And I think the second is even more, I won't say that it is more valuable than the first, but it is certainly a powerful lesson nonetheless. So let me pick up somewhat in the middle here. Again, did Peter remember the words of the Lord Jesus before he sinned or after? He remembered them after. And you would think that when Jesus had spoken to Peter and said that before the cock crow, you will deny me thrice, you would have thought that when he spoke once, that he would have realized what was taking place. And most certainly when he spoke twice. But then when he spoke three times and he heard the cock crow, then he remembered the words of the Lord Jesus. So again, I had to ask myself this week, did I remember? Did I remember the words of the Lord before or after I sinned? And it was after. Did I remember all that I had studied and preached just 3 days before? Was I pondering? Was I thinking twice and speaking once? Did I remember what Bridges said, that many stumblings have been made by speaking from the impulse of the moment, from warm feelings rather than from a well-balanced and considerate judgment? Or that of David. David wanting immediately. He was immediately ready for revenge upon Nabal. Or what's worse, did I remember the very verse, not just a verse that we may have studied, but the very verse that we are studying? The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Remember what studieth implies? Prayer. Where was my praying at that point? Where was my watching? 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, 1. Corinthians 10, 1 through 13. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That is what we need to remember. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And that's what happens. That's what happens with us. That's what happens when we're at work. That's what happens to us when we're at home. That's what happens to us when we're at church, because we're just going about our normal business, our normal activity. And all of a sudden, in comes something. And we're taken unawares. At that moment, are we remembering those things that went before as our examples? Do we think that we stand at that point? Do we think that we're strong enough to stand in and of ourselves? The answer is, we don't think at all. We just act. We just react, is what we do all too often. We act hastily, we act rashly, just as Peter reacted, just as David reacted, just as Joshua reacted. Psalm 141:3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. That's what we need. We need for God to set a watch over our mouth. and keep the door of our lips, because you are not going to be able to keep it. Because when you think you are, you're thinking that you're standing in your own strength. James chapter 3. The powerful chapter dealing with the tongue. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. This entire chapter is given over to the instruction of the use of the tongue. The point that I'm trying to drive home is that as long as we are in this earthly tabernacle, this earthly body, the flesh, we are prone to these sins and can never, never, never cease to be looking forward unto Jesus. Now, the second truth. Now, I want to try and set the stage, and I want you to try and enter into this, because unless you are able to in some way experience in your mind what I was experiencing myself, you won't fully grasp what I'm trying to say here. When this individual sent this first email, and I was so upset with it, so enraged over it. And then the second one went back. And when the second one went back, and it wasn't actually going for me, it was going from someone else. And then that next response came. And that response involved me directly. And it wasn't as a direct accusation, but it was there nonetheless. And that upset me even more. So I gave a response immediately that no more hit the screen than my fingers were moving on the keyboard. And I was sending this response not to the individual, that sent the email. I was sending it to the person that responded to him in the first place. But by mistake, I sent it to the individual. And at that moment, I can't even describe the feeling. I cannot describe the feeling that came over me at that moment. At that point, very quickly, there was no way to retrieve it. Just like a word that is spoken. Once it's out, it's out. It's gone. You can't take it back. You can't pull those words back. The email was already opened and read. This was on a Wednesday evening. At that point, I was absolutely overwhelmed, to say the least. I had realized at that point what I had done. As I said, it's the same as when you say something and you say something that maybe you don't mean to say, and you certainly don't mean to hurt an individual by it, but once it's said, and there's no pulling it back. It was the same thing. As I said, words cannot express how I felt and the fear that came over me at that point of what I had done. It's one of those things where you think, this must be a dream. And hopefully, I'll wake up and this won't be happening at all. But that wasn't the case, and I knew it wasn't the case. What had I done? What had I done? How could I have been so foolish? How will I be able to face that person again? What will be said? If you've ever done it, if you've ever been there, you know the thoughts that go through your mind. And your mind is moving at about 100 miles an hour. But then, it really hit me, and this is the lesson. It really hit me at full force. This fear that I was experiencing was not about what I had done. It was that I had been caught doing it. And you've heard us say up here that very thing, that many times there's repentance, or seemingly so, when an individual sins and they are caught in a sin. Are they repenting because they have been caught or because they have sinned? And at that point, strangely enough, there seemed to come some relief from this because I realized, and I've said that as well from behind here, and I know my brother has as well, about is one's repentance about being caught or about the sin that they were involved in. With me, at that point, it was the fear of being caught. It had nothing, and I realized this, it had nothing to do with the sin itself. Because before that had happened, I didn't have any problem with it at all. It was only when I was caught that I realized what was happening. It only had to do with me. And yet the Lord was teaching me a very, very severe lesson. A lesson that I did not want to receive, I can tell you. And I was not enjoying being taught that lesson either. But He was causing me to realize how, and this is the key, how we should feel when we sin against God. Not when we're caught, but when we actually sin against God. Because I'm sorry to say, most of our ill feelings come about when we're caught. Not because of the sin, but because you personally have been caught in the act of something. I can't imagine what it must be if one is caught in unfaithfulness through adultery or theft or murder or something like that. How horrible. So is one sorry? If it is the sin of adultery, is one sorry when he's in the act of adultery? Is one sorry afterwards? On this occasion, or that occasion, or the next occasion? Or is it only when they're found out? Is that when they're sorry? What have I done? I. All about me. I know this. And that was the case here. It was all about me, giving no thought to the offended party, and which was ultimately God. We should fear. And all I could think of at that point, this is how I should fear sin. I should have this same overwhelming feeling that I'm having about being caught in this sin of speaking hastily and rashly and inappropriately and to the wrong people and on and on and on. That's how I should feel about the sin itself, which has nothing to do with being caught and everything to do with the sin. But by and large, we don't have that sensation and we don't have that feeling. And I've never understood it. I thought I did, but I never understood it clearly. Not clearly as I did at this point. And then, the next thing that began to overwhelm my mind was, this was Wednesday night. The message was prepared. how could I get up and speak? I was so upset. My mind was just a whir. How was I going to be able to even speak? How was I going to be able to read the Word of God? How was I going to be able to pray? Overwhelming fear. And that too is a trick of the devil, that he will seek to make you powerless through focusing on your own sins and asking, how could God ever use you? You are worse than worse. Question that comes to us, one of the questions that comes to us when we sin, and we sin moment by moment by moment, do we have this overwhelming fear of offending the Lord Jesus Christ? And I believe that God gave me this experience of how I should feel about sin against Him. Having nothing to do with being caught, and everything to do with the sin itself. We hate to get caught, but do we hate sin? Do we hate the sin? Paul made a statement this morning in his opening reading. He said, God afflicts us many times to show us our weakness. And I believe that that is oh so true. And when we think we stand, we better beware lest we fall. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, thank you, O Lord, for your precious, precious word. Thank you, Lord, that you instruct us and instruct us and instruct us. And so often we hear and we hear and we hear, but how much do we actually receive and retain and believe in our hearts and come into grips with that teaching and preaching from the Word? How much do we realize the whole impact of all of it? I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this severe lesson that you taught me this week. And I pray, Lord, that you have taught it to me. I pray, Lord, for each and every one, that you would help us to study, to answer, that we might remember that our tongue is just a little member, but it can create such a fire as could never be put out. Lord, may we have our eyes fixed upon you. May we have them fixed upon you as we go through, as we go to work tomorrow, as we get up in the morning, and as we speak to our children or to our husband or wife, or our parents. Lord, guide our speech. We pray, Lord, that as we have read tonight, that you would put a guard at the door of our lips, that we would speak no guile. Help us, O Lord. Strengthen us, we pray. For Jesus' sake. Amen.